Hey there, it's Nick Vander Kolk, and this is The Secrets Hotline. A little later, I'll be talking with Dan Savage, America's best sex advice columnist and the host of the Savage Lovecast. But first, since this is the inaugural episode, I wanted to explain a little bit about why we're here. A few years ago, I started asking people to share their secrets on my other show, Love and Radio. To be totally honest with you, I wasn't sure if anyone would call in. You know, secrets are secrets for a reason. But the response was huge.
Hey,
I don't think I really appreciated before starting the project just how many people need a space to share things that they never could in their own social circles. Whether that's a delicious secret that you cherish but can't help but share, or something that hovers in the back of your mind that you can barely admit to yourself.
I've never told anyone that, but that's my secret.
I created the Secrets Hotline to be a place where you and I, we can all come together to share and bear witness to something closer to who we really are. Sometimes that can be scary or uncomfortable, and sometimes funny, reassuring. If you do have a secret of your own and you want to contribute, you can do so by recording a message on our website. It's secretshotline.org or by calling 1-929-SECRETS. Okay. Here we go.
My secret, I don't know if you guys would be interested or care at all, but my wife and I have been married for 12 years now, going on 13. We have two kids, and we've been conservative Christians for most of our lives / marriage. Till maybe like the last 5 or 6 years, we kind of started drifting away from that and opening our minds and realizing it's all just a bunch of bullshit. After many conversations about sexuality and all these things, we realized that felt like we'd kind of been robbed from having like real life, I guess, in a lot of ways, from our Christian upbringing and just stupid things that they impose upon you. Anyway, we decided recently, after lots of talking about it, that we should have an open relationship. And I recently started traveling on the road, which is kind of a perfect opportunity, or so I thought, to try and find some strange, or, you know, just hook up with someone, meet someone new, try something new and different. Other than my wife, we're just tired of fucking each other for 12 years. Not that the sex isn't great or that we're not still committed to each other, but we're just interested in you know, trying out other people. We've only ever had sex with each other, and we were virgins when we had sex. So anyway, she's having a lot more luck than I am. She used Craigslist right away and already has like two guys interested in her. I, on the other hand, am not having luck with Craigslist. I'm trying out Match.com. People on there seem a little more serious about relationships, so I'm not sure how that'll work. I'm trying SwingLifestyle.com. The towns I go to are pretty obscure a lot of times with my work. That's what we're going through, and neither of us have still had sex with anyone else yet other than ourselves, and we're sort of being best friends for each other. Oh, did you find someone? Oh, what are they like? Asking them questions. What, you know, she found this really nerdy, tall, skinny guy. And I've been striking out so far. I'm either getting scammed or...
I have a secret that I have not told anyone. About 2 years ago, I was wanting to explore my sexuality with women. So I actually went on Craigslist. I posted an ad with no pictures, but basically saying, not to sound cocky or anything, but I'm an attractive woman. I kind of described myself and what I look like. Said that it was my first sexual experience with a woman, but I also was interested in a threesome, like with another woman and a man. I did get a response from a couple who ended up sending me pictures, and they seemed really legit. So, and they were also really attractive. So I ended up meeting up with them. We went out for drinks. They were really nice and normal. And then we went back to their apartment. We had sex. It was very enjoyable. And I was totally down for doing it again until afterwards, the couple basically got obsessed with me. Like, they weren't like stalking me or anything like that, but they were constantly sending me messages. We had a group text and they were just texting me all day long. The boyfriend would text me in the group text and be like, I've been thinking about how beautiful both of you looked naked next to each other. And I can't stop thinking about it. It's what I think about first thing when I wake up and the last thing I think about before I go to sleep. And would just go on and on and on. And it got to a point where I was like, I do not feel safe with these people. And so I pretty much ghosted them. And then they confronted me about ghosting them. And I still didn't respond. And then I blocked their numbers. So I haven't seen or talked to them since. And I'm just terrified that I will run into them one day. So that's my secret. Thank you. Great to get that off my chest.
So I was hopelessly teenage infatuated with my schoolgirl crush, like puppy dog eyes across the playground, silliness. And he became my friend, and then he became my first boyfriend, and then we were friends again, and we went to college, and he met the girl who would become his fiance, and I met girls and boys and fooled around and all of that good stuff, and we went to separate universities and took too many drugs and lost a bit of touch and reconnected every now and again, and I moved to a new city quite far away for work, and I visited my hometown. I'd been lonely where I was. And we went for a drink, and it was awesome to spend time together just to feel like those friendships still existed and were still warm and still active. And he'd just gotten engaged. It was really great to see him. And subsequently, he decided he would come and visit me where I was. We went out, and later in the evening, for some reason, we were holding hands, and then we were going home, and then we went to bed together, and I was so fucking angry. And afterwards, he told me that he had recently gone to Amsterdam and tried to fuck a sex worker and hadn't been able to go through with the transaction. And he left in the morning, and I went to the pharmacy and took a morning after pill. And then an invitation to the wedding arrived through the letterbox without an awful lot of prior discussion. And then I was at the wedding, and I was watching the ceremony, and I was standing in a circle with all of the guests, with the couple in the center singing Stand By Me by Benny King. And it was a beautiful wedding, and I went home back to where I'd been lonely and stayed there for a few more months before deciding that I needed to be somewhere with people that I knew. So I moved, and it was to the city he lived in. There were lots of people I knew there at the time, and we'd go drinking, and it was the summer. So we'd sit outside pubs and smoke and talk and talk and drink. And then when the pubs closed, we would go to a nearby park and fuck each other in the dark. Or if we were at his place and his wife was there, I was out on the balcony smoking, and he would come out behind me. And it was fucking thrilling. And then his wife found out, and that was pretty much the last I saw of my friend. And it's been 6 years now, and it's like we were just made abruptly entirely dead to each other. There's no way for me to establish contact. It's like we live in entirely separate universes. I think about him all the time. And I dream about him all the time.
Why are so many people all over the globe choosing the Secrets Hotline as their hotline? Simple, really. 929-SECRETS. That's 929-732-7387.
Answering service also available at secretshotline.org.
Well, I can't have an orgasm with my wife unless I'm imagining one of her friends sitting on my face while we're having sex. That's pretty much it. Thanks.
A while back on one of the Secret Hotlines show, you guys shared someone's secret about how they pee in the sink all the time.
The problem with toilets is that a urine stream travels about 2 feet from a standing man's penis to the toilet, which splashes urine and toilet water everywhere. With a sink, on the other hand...
And this person was probably had a penis. For some reason, that stuck with me. And since I've been dating a person with a penis recently, I've been encouraging them to pee in the sink. Because for some reason, I think it's really fucking cool.
Leave the water running, and you'll be amazed by how little splashback, if any, occurs.
And so whenever they pee in the sink, I rush into the room to watch them pee, even though I think watching them pee is kind of gross. I think I mostly like the idea of saving water, even though my landlord pays for my water. And then I also like watching them pee in the sink because it reminds me of the Secrets Hotline show that I listen to.
I always conclude my bathroom visit with a toilet flush, lest anyone become suspicious.
What app are we on right now? Not WhatsApp, FaceTime.
Yeah.
So if you just swipe up from the bottom, like slowly where the mute button is. Oh, shoot. No, that's not it. Swipe down from the top. So just tap the screen anywhere, and then it should come up at the bottom. Uh-oh. Maybe we need to call him again. Oh, wait, here it comes. There we are. Hi.
Tell us what you have for breakfast this time.
I had strawberries and blueberries and cherries and eggs.
Who are you?
I'm Dan Savage, and I've been writing Savage Love, a syndicated sex advice column, since 1991. And I'm a host of the Savage Love Cast, which is a call-in sex advice podcast, which is 14 years old. So it's a podcast dinosaur at this point, but it survived.
Part of the reason I wanted to talk to you about all of this is I think in general, the consensus is like, oh, you should always be honest with people. Honesty is the best policy. And you don't seem to toe that line.
No, I don't, because it's a lie. It's not true. You know, you peel it back in the tiniest way and people will admit that it's not true. There are things that you aren't honest about out of love to protect someone that you love.
Can you give me an example?
Well, I mean, the sort of like lowest rung example is, do these jeans make my ass look fat? There's only one answer to that question, and it's no. Even if it's a lie, it's no, right?
You know, people are into fat asses now.
Yeah, that's true. People are into fat asses. So maybe I'm dating myself by using that example. You see people together who are like, oh, you're just as hot now, just as sexy to me now as you were the night we met. And we know that's not true, right? And there's this kind of gentle, loving gloss or sometimes transparent fib that comes from a place of love. Now, at the other end of the continuum, from that gentle, loving fib is, I've never cheated on you, right? And where I get into trouble with some people, you know, if you've had an affair, a one-off, you regret it, you're never going to do it again. It is sometimes, often, I think, the more loving act to keep your mouth shut. If you think your partner is going to find out through a third party or in some way that would add humiliation in the revelation to your partner's pain at the affair, well, then you need to get out in front of it and tell them. But if they're never going to find out, if you had an affair on a business trip and they're never going to find out, Esther Perel, in her book, Mating in Captivity, describes it as the burden of knowing. Do you want to shift the burden of knowing onto your partner's shoulder? And is there anything to gain? And people often talk about unburdening themselves without recognizing that in that moment when you unburden yourself, you burden the other person. And it can be the more loving act to bear that burden yourself, to feel bad, let some of those bad feelings motivate you to be a better person and a more loving and attentive partner, and not do it again. And yet we're told, like, if you have an affair, you have to confess, you have to be honest, you have to tell. And you just don't. You don't. And it's not always good advice to tell that truth.
So do you think people who do confess to their partners when it's not needed, do you think that they're acting selfishly?
Sometimes. I mean, people have to interrogate their own motives and actions, right? Someone may say to themselves in a self-serving way, I'm not going to tell my partner about this because I love them and I want to protect them. And they're just protecting themselves, right? Every individual has to scrutinize their own motives, and there's no blanket thing I can apply in all cases. Someone cannot tell their partner and convince themselves that they're not confessing out of love for their partner, right? And they're just protecting their own asses. And some people may tell their partner and think it's loving, but they're actually being cruel. You know, sometimes that honesty is the best policy stuff, and I'm always going to be straight and honest with you and transparent, that there is sadism in that at times. And people have to bend over and smell their own shit and make sure that they're not either withholding information selfishly or sharing information cruelly.
So speaking of sharing information, you rather famously don't share information about your private life.
We keep secrets.
Yeah, you keep secrets from your readers and your listeners.
Yeah, it's funny. I met my husband, Terry. We've been together for 25 years. And when I met him, you know, I'd started writing Savage Love, my sex advice column in the very early 90s. And there were, you know, kind of a lot of sex columns then, people writing about sex and writing about their own sex lives. And like other sex columnists of that moment, I was writing about my own sex life too. And then I met Terry and he said, oh, this is interesting. You can keep doing that. You can write about your sex life or you can have sex with me, but you can't have sex with me and write about your sex life. And so I stopped. And I credit Terry for my column's longevity. A lot of the other columnists and columns that, you know, bloomed in the early 90s when the sex column became a big thing went away. And I think they went away, many of them, because readers eventually felt like the columnist was just doing things or having experiences or churning through partners for copy. And they kind of broke faith with their readers, or the readers stopped buying it. Even if it was an authentic life experience that was being documented, the readers just kind of wandered off, and my readers never did. And I think it's because my column wasn't about me, not about my sex life, about them and their sex lives.
I was actually interviewing Anna Sale, who I think had interviewed you at one point way back when. And she asked me, when you think about secrets, do you generally think of them in a positive light, that they're this sort of like delicious thing? Or is it something that's, you know, that's covering up something really painful? And I'm curious what your initial association is with that.
Well, because people share their, you know, because I wallow in this end of the pool with people's sexual secrets and confidences, of course my head goes to the delicious sexual secret. And there is something delicious about having a sexual secret. And a lot of people move through their daily lives engaged in what I call secret perving. You know, the guy in the business suit who's wearing women's underwear under it, nobody knows. And he's sort of aroused by the fact that, you know, his public performance is the suit and his private performance is the underpants that only he knows are there. Those are the secrets that have occupied my professional life. So that's where I go. But then there are, you know, the damaging secrets and the cancerous secrets that are a lot less fun to contemplate, like someone who's in an abusive relationship and covering for their abuser. And feels trapped and can't get out and doesn't want to be judged for not leaving, so keeps the abuse secret. And that's tragic.
I'm here to leave a secret from when I was a kid. Ever since I could remember up until I was 15, 16. My brother used to sexually abuse me. And that's not really what this is about, but I would stand over his bed almost every night with a knife for hours sometimes, just trying to work up the nerve to get back at him, I suppose, to kill him. And he used to tell me about this recurring nightmare he would have where a man would be standing above his bed with a knife. And only recently have I started to wonder if maybe he wasn't as asleep as I thought. Anyways, that's the short story of it all. Thank you.
I want to leave a secret about, I don't know, something I don't even know what to think about. When I was a teen, like in middle school, I got really into church, youth group, and I got really close with one of the youth pastors, and just like I adored him. I thought he was the smartest man I had ever met. And there's something I've like thought about now that I'm older that I don't really know where to put it now that I'm 26 and like have gone to therapy and shit. But we used to wrestle. It didn't feel sexual to me. But we would wrestle like in the hallways or like in his office. It would just be like the two of us fighting physically, of him like pinning me and holding me down physically. And yeah, I don't know. I don't feel anything about it, like negative, but it feels in retrospect kind of gross. If I were to ever have kids, I wouldn't want my kid to do that. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know where to put it. I don't know what it means. I wanted to say it somewhere. I'm not good at saying things to people around me, so I'd rather say it here. Yeah. Bye. My secret is that the way that I pay for student loans is by having several sugar daddies. And my parents don't know, my friends, some of whom are very religious, I would never tell them. And so it's just kind of like my cross to bear. This past year was my freshman year, and I would be gone pretty much most of the day with my sugar daddy, and I would come home back to campus like nothing happened. Like I was just in the library for like hours and hours slaving over work, and I would just lie. Nobody questioned it. Nobody ever asked or got suspicious about anything. So I guess I'm a very good double life leader. Anyways, that's it. Bye.
Hello. I have been meaning to do this for a while. So here we go. I am coming up on year 6 of marriage in 2 days. And I fucking hate it. I hate being married. I hate looking at my husband every day. I hate knowing that every day for the rest of the time that we spend together, I have to look at his face. I love my children. I really do. But I also regret having ever become a parent. Just not me. And as I've gotten older, I've come to realize that this is not my path. And boy, oh boy, I got 2 kids. So where the fuck else am I gonna go? Fucking hate being married. And I hate my husband. There's nothing wrong with him. It's totally just me. And I just want to be left the fuck alone for the rest of my life. The end. Oh God. That felt great!
That's it for now. But as long as there are secrets in the world, the hotline will be open. Share yours or leave feedback at secretshotline.org or by calling 1-929-SECRETS. That's 929-732-7287. If you like the show, want access to even more secrets, and more of my conversation with Dan Savage, listen to this special extended director's cut of the Secrets Hotline only on Luminary. Just go to luminary.link/secrets for a free trial. The Secrets Hotline is produced by Andrew Gill and Phil Domhofsky with help from Cassidy Jackson. I'm Nick Vanderkolk. We are a production of Love and Radio and brought to you by the fine folks at Luminary, all made possible by their members. Thank you. Special thanks, of course, to our guest, Dan Savage. You can read Dan's column, Savage Love, at thestranger.com or listen to his podcast, Savage Lovecast, wherever you get your podcasts. Our theme song is by George Langford. Steven Jackson made the end theme. Other musicians featured in today's episode include Gelato Negro, Osaya, Dialect, Visible Cloaks with Yoshio Ojima and Satsuki Shibano, Taylor Dupree and Christopher Willits, Gano, and Agnarchia. And of course, thanks to all of you who have called in. We do listen to every single secret, and it goes without saying this show would not be possible without you. For more, please visit our website, secretshotline.org, where you can sign up for our mailing list. You can also find us on Instagram at The Secrets Hotline. Thanks for listening, and you've got this.